It's time for Speak Out 2.0, a locally produced community affairs program for tri-state residents. From Kingman to Bullhead City, Laughlin to Needles, and Lake Havasu City to all the towns in between. Speak Out 2.0 features guests and topics covering politics, nonprofits, entertainment, and information on local events. Speak Out 2.0 is all about you. You, the KNTR Talk listener. Call in during the show. 234-343-1065. That's 234-343-1065. So turn up the radio. It's time for your host, Larry Tuneforce.
Starting today with a special song. And, of course, my guest recognizes that song.
I do.
The Chips theme song. Welcome to Speak Out 2.0. We're live from our Bullhead City studio. I'm Larry Tuneforce, your host. It is Monday, the 27th of October already. Yeah. Halloween's on Friday. What will you go as, Eddie?
I'm going to go as a traffic cop.
Hey, what a good... That's a great idea.
The costume was easy.
Yeah, the costume was easy. Just got it out of his locker. Today's tip's going to get up right around 87-ish along the Colorado River. Kind of see the 90s later in the week, so it should be nice. My dogs are looking at the pool going, yeah. This is Speak Out 2.0. We're live from our Bullhead City studio, and I'm Larry Tuneforce, your host. It's 106.3, 106.5, and 106.7 on your dial. And if you want to participate during the program, you're always welcome to call in. It's we got our own area code and everything. It's 234-343-1065. So feel free to call. Now, if you're one of those people who, I don't want to call in, well, you can text a question to us then. We make it simple here, Speak Out 2.0. And you can also text Common Ground tomorrow, and you can text Speak Out from Lake Havasu, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. 928-727-5566. It's very simple. Text your question. Feel free. And our guest in the studio, live, is Lieutenant. That just kind of rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
It does.
Lieutenant Eddie Espinoza. Welcome.
Thank you.
So Eddie has been on many, many times as the sergeant in traffic and recently promoted to lieutenant. And now you're not in traffic.
I am not.
So before we talk about what you're doing today, because I had a bunch of traffic questions prepared for you, you can still answer them, right?
Of course.
Okay. So a couple of weeks ago, I'm walking out of Walmart, and a guy's backing out of a parking spot, and he happens to have a handicapped cart on the back of his vehicle, you know, those little I don't want to call them a trailer, little platforms that they put on the back so they can put their cart up on it.
Okay.
And as he's backing out, some guy's making a right-hand turn. He drives right up over the top of this cart. Now I see all this. And they're two old men. And the guy that did it pulled right into the parking spot. And they start talking. They're very calm. And I just called dispatch. And I said, hey, we've got a 961, a non-injury accident here in the parking lot of Walmart. And she said, we don't respond on non-injury crashes at Walmart. And I was like, really? Is that new?
Well, it's not new. I would say it's new in that this is probably the first time you've encountered it.
Yeah, me, yeah.
The law doesn't allow for a formal investigation of a non-criminal collision on private property.
Oh, okay.
So as long as the dispatchers will encourage the parties to exchange information, because ultimately even if law enforcement gets involved in a non-criminal collision on private property, effectively all we're going to do for them is facilitate that exchange. So if they're able to do it amongst themselves, then that's where we would end it.
And that frees up your people.
Well, it does, but there are also times when the parties aren't willing to talk to each other. That, you know, it gets contentious. Maybe it's disorderly, and then of course you have a criminal matter. We'll get involved and we'll facilitate that exchange just to get
the facilitation takes a new level.
It does. So it's not that we won't do it. It's just as long as the parties are willing and able. we would let them do it on their own, because if we responded, we're not going to draw a conclusion, we're not going to establish fault, we're not going to do an investigation like we would on a roadway collision.
Okay. We're seeing a lot of bikes and e-bikes on the roads, and they go every which way they want. They're driving southbound and northbound lanes. They're crossing intersections against lights and stuff. What are the rules for bikes and e-bikes on our roadways?
Well, when you're talking about the roadway itself, the law has been clear for a long time that any bike, e-bike, any iteration of that that is operating on the roadway, they have to follow the laws of the roadway, no different than a motor vehicle. So that's pretty clear. What is unclear is how they work on other areas around the roadway and how they're regarded as a motor vehicle, as a vehicle. And so that's largely unlegislated. So we have to turn to, like our partners in Lake Havasu did, they went to their city and they had ordinances legislated. A lot of big cities have done that.
Okay.
Because the state legislature hasn't pushed out anything that really pins down an e-bike or some sort of electronic assisted bike.
Because you really don't want to see an e-bike making a left-hand turn from the left-hand turn lane.
Well, I don't think you want to see any bike doing that. But by the way the rules of the road are, they could.
If they were
on the road.
Yeah.
So the department is sympathetic to the idea, which in essence you just captured. You don't want to see them in that turn lane amongst traffic. Now, legally they can be there, yes. And so we were able to research down and get a definitive answer that a bike being on a sidewalk is a violation of the law. But everybody involved, to include our legal advisors, was of the opinion that, well, isn't that the safest place for them to be? And that argument always ended in, well, yeah, it is.
Yeah, especially when you don't have a bike lane.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we see them on the sidewalks all the time.
Yes.
You know? But when we see them on the sidewalks going the wrong way, then they might require a talking to by an officer.
I think if the officer saw that and was able to contact them in a safe manner, that would be the best course of action.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm seeing tow trucks a lot driving with their yellow lights on, flashing. And I don't understand why, because I thought they were for, like, when they're on the scene of an emergency or a crash, not if they're going to a crash or if they've got a crash vehicle on their tow truck.
Well, right off the bat, I wonder what their equipment looks like in their vehicles. You know, when I think of generations of police cars ago that I operated in, if you left your rear decks on, nothing told you they were on.
No.
If it wasn't nighttime and you could see the light behind you flashing, oh, I need to turn that on.
Oh, okay.
Now, the car I have today, it has a little tone. It emits a tone every 15 or 20 seconds just to let me know that something in that system is on.
Okay.
And it'll remind me if I forget to, you know, tie that loose end up and turn it off. So I don't know if they're leaving a tow scene and they just didn't realize they have it on anymore. My first question would be, how is their system? Is it configured to remind them, or do they just not know it's on?
Okay. A week and a half ago, I'm coming northbound the parkway, get to Silver Creek, and I catch the red light. I'm stopped, and I watch a vehicle coming southbound, comes up to the light to make a right-hand turn, didn't slow down at all. I mean, actually, he was probably going a little too fast to be able to slow down, and he made his right turn. Within seconds, a vehicle behind him, an unmarked patrol car with lights and siren, activates the sirens, and they try to pull him over on Silver Creek. Well, he goes all the way down to the medical center next to the hospital, and he eventually stops him in that medical center. It was a DPS officer. It was an unmarked vehicle with a uniformed DPS officer. We're seeing a lot more officers, and I'm seeing it in California too. They're no longer driving the black and white cars. It's every color you can get, every style, every brand name, and lights are not always on top anymore.
Yeah, there's a lot of options for upfitters to put lights on police vehicles or emergency vehicles that aren't immediately visible. If you're really looking, they're kind of easy to see. But,
yeah.
You know, on a first glance, you wouldn't be able to tell that Ford Explorer from my own personal one if I owned one. You wouldn't know the difference.
Right.
So it's not uncommon.
So we're seeing that. I know DPS has a, I think it's a Camaro, a red Camaro.
Yeah.
That is unmarked. And I tell people, I said, don't always look for that black and white, you know, in your mirror, because they don't drive black and whites anymore. I mean, our own city has vehicles that are unmarked and pickup trucks that are not marked and different, you know, they're not all Ford Explorers. They're not all Chevy Tahoes. They're all different now. And I think law enforcement in general is starting to do that more and more.
Well, it is very effective. If you don't know that the car behind you, next to you, in front of you is a police car, you're less inclined to drive as attentive as you would if it were a marked car.
Right.
So from an enforcement standpoint, it's very effective. But on the administrative side, getting cars isn't easy.
Right.
So I think agencies have to get what they can get, and they upfit them to meet their needs, and they deploy them out on the road.
Okay. Now, let's talk about your new position. What are you overseeing as a, now that you got, had to, your wife had to take all the stripes off your shirts and put new bars in your collar?
I have been tasked with overseeing the Support Services Bureau.
Okay.
So under Support Services is our dispatch center, our records division, and property and evidence. And I also oversee the behavioral health component, the backup program.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's under you now.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's an intensive program.
Very intensive, very involved, very dynamic.
We're kind of the first.
We're the first in the area. There's jurisdictions all over the country who have had behavioral health crisis professionals in police cars assigned to police officers day in, day out. They work together. They're effectively their partner.
Right.
A friend of mine lateraled to the Yakima, Washington Police Department. That's when I first heard about it. She had a behavioral health professional that was in her car with her every single day she worked. And it wasn't just her. It was her entire patrol squad.
I mean, oh,
wow. They all had these professionals in the vehicles with them to help them deal with behavioral health crisis issues that came in as patrol calls. And these programs are well established, very effective.
So with Bullhead PD, they're basically on call. I mean, if an officer got to a situation with an unstable individual or a high, you know, from drugs or alcohol individual, they could call for the backup team to respond?
Yeah, we have two full-time team members, and they're available to respond from the station. So it is primarily on call. We want the program to evolve in the direction sort of like the Yakima model, not so much they're in a patrol car with a patrolman.
Right.
But they're out a little more active. And as our staff grows and the program grows, we'll start to move closer to that direction. But for now, they're available by call. They've responded from the station. And that's just one element of how we're addressing the mental health crisis issues and their interface with the police department. In our dispatch center, we have a technician who, she sits in our center, and she can... the dispatchers can divert calls directly to her so they can be on the phone with a mental health crisis professional in the same call they made to the police department.
Within seconds.
And that's through a company called Solari, and they're in partnership with Arizona Complete Health. And so it's a very robust program. It's the first time they've been in our center, but we've had success with it. And I just had, I believe it was Prescott Valley Police Department, just responded to an email this morning. Their assistant chief was reaching out for feedback on how that program has worked for us, because it looks like they're entertaining putting somebody in their center to try and do what we're doing for their community.
And I'm going to assume that being the dispatch supervisor, that it's budgeted for and you pay for that service.
Well, this is all funded from Arizona Complete Health.
Wow.
So it's not costing the Bullhead City Police Department anything.
Which is access, right?
Access. I wouldn't go down speaking on that too great, because I'm not very familiar with it. But I know it is state funds from the Department of Health, and then Arizona Complete Health manages it, and they subcontract with Solari. And Solari is who's actually sitting in our center.
Okay. All right, let's take a break. 21 past the hour. If you have a question, feel free to give us a call. 234-343-1065, or text a question. 928-727-5566. Speak Out 2.0 is brought to you by Laughlin Ranch. That's right. Tonight, it's Monday Night Football. The Commanders and the Chiefs. Yeah, they're going to play tonight at Laughlin Ranch. Well, You can watch it at Laughlin Ranch. They win prizes and all kinds of good stuff. Also brought to you by Mojave Electric Cooperative. If you would like to get level bills every single month from MEC, you can do that. Give them a call at 928-763-1100. What they do.
Mojave Electric Cooperative's budget payment plan helps members budget their residential electric bill payments evenly over a 12-month billing period. Knowing what your monthly electric bill will be makes it easier to plan and manage monthly expenses more effectively. Enrollment is open now through the month of October. To sign up or to learn more, please call 928-763-1100 or visit www.mojaveelectric.com.
This message is brought to you by Mojave Electric Cooperative, an equal opportunity provider and employer.
The Legacy Rehab and Care Center in Bullhead City is designed to help patients with skilled nursing. This includes personal care and hygiene assistance, meal service, laundry, and housekeeping service, plus an on-site beauty salon and beautiful secured outdoor patios where you can sit and enjoy the Arizona mountainous terrain. The Legacy prides itself by providing life enrichment activities for all their residents. See for yourself by following Legacy Rehab on Instagram today.
Laughlin Ranch announces 20% off body sculpting in their spa all October. Save all October on relaxation and rejuvenation. Indulge yourself with the Desert Golden Hourglass, the Arizona Arms, or the Cactus Contour. All 50-minute custom body sculpting. Check out other fall specials like Whipped Honey Body Scrub, the Whipped Honey Pedicure, and the Pumpkin Latte Facial. Look good the rest of the year. The Spa and Fitness Center at Laughlin Ranch. Make your appointment at LaughlinRanch.com.
God has a purpose and destiny for you. He wants to use you to impact the world. Come be taught, trained, empowered, and activated in excellent Christian training classes. Knowing your identity, knowing your authority, hearing God, healing and restoration, operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and more. The first 2 weeks in November, Monday through Wednesday from 2 to 6 p.m. at City on a Hill International Church. Visit our website for details, cityonahillaz.org. That's cityonahillaz.org.
Good old Sam is at it again. Samsgun.com has bought a back stock of Heckler & Koch pistols and rifles. Prices have been reduced. You'll also get a $50 gift card on any H&K purchase. Time is limited. Get on over to Samsguns.com today.
The biggest names in talk radio are right here on KNTR Talk. Kilmeade, Hannity, Levin, and Ramsey, along with our local newsmakers on Speak Out. Stay informed. Stay tuned to KNTR Talk 106.3, the voice of the free.
Welcome back to Speak Out 2.0, 24 past the hour. Our guest today, Lieutenant Eddie Espinoza with Bullhead City Police Department over the support division. And we kind of talked a little bit about dispatch. You're kind of fortunate when they put you in that position. They must love you because everybody under you is seasoned, right?
I consider myself lucky.
That's what I just said, you know.
Lucky. I don't know if they loved me or not. Somebody needed to be there,
I
got the nod.
In the dispatch center, you got dispatchers who've been in there longer than you met a cop.
Yeah, I have dispatchers who started dispatching before I graduated high school.
Right, and then you mentioned evidence, and I think Emily's been in evidence for 8 or 10 years.
Yeah, she has a lot of experience. Yeah. The records lead is very experienced.
Yeah, so you step into the lieutenant position over these people that are all seasoned and know their jobs. You're just sitting back with your feet on your desk?
No, I wish. So the curveball there is coming into, yes, as a patrolman, I was aware of my entire career these bureaus exist.
Sure.
And we interface with them. I with dispatch more than anything else, I get on the radio every single day.
Right.
And you understand that things are happening there, and you kind of understand how they're happening. Same thing with the records. I generate reports, and I send them on. I know that things need to happen with them. They occasionally contact us for some clarification because they're fulfilling requests. Well, now, being overseeing those divisions, I don't understand what they're doing or why they're doing it. So the learning curve is huge, and I've dedicated most of my time just trying to figure out what's happening, why it's happening, and
like that you're lieutenant that's asking questions of how it works.
Well, I hope they do. That's my intent. If I don't understand what it is they're doing, I don't understand, number one, where I can help. If I can't help, I mean, dispatch is unique because I can't plug in on a console and
right.
start handling calls. It's a very, very skilled position.
Oh, yeah.
In records, I found ways that I could be helpful in trying to help with the workflow. In a little bit, we'll talk about some numbers, but they're very overwhelmed, and I try to find a place that I could help just to try to be a part of the solution.
Let's talk about dispatch numbers, because I don't think a lot of people realize that Bullitt City Police Dispatch Center dispatches also for Bullitt City Fire, Mojave Valley Fire, Fort Mojave Fire, Oatman, and I think Golden Shores?
Yeah, and Oatman is moving towards some dispatch solutions with some equipment that I don't believe they're going to be away from our center. They're just doing things a little bit different.
Okay.
But, yeah, we have a lot of customers, and not just the Bullhead City Police Department.
Right.
The fire department, and that comprises our entire workload.
When somebody in the Valley or Fort Mojave calls 911 for an emergency, let's say it's a vehicle collision. Now, if it's on the highway, they're going to need DPS and they're going to need fire. If they call 911 and it goes into your dispatch center, does your dispatch center stay on the line and connect them directly with the fire and directly with DPS?
So our dispatch center would handle the deployment of the fire resources. We'd get all the information we need.
Right.
We'd dispatch the fire services, and then we would transfer that call over to DPS.
Okay.
And then give them the rundown. Our systems are capable of sending all the information we know to be factual. So it depends on what system the agency we're sending the call to has, whether they can do it digitally or whether we're going to pick up the phone and brief somebody and then end the call.
Okay.
So they can get their resource on the road.
Because unfortunately, a lot of the systems between dispatch agencies are different.
Well, they are, but we've come a long way. And what I've learned in the handful of weeks since I took this position over, they're working, the state of Arizona is working for standardization. They want a dispatcher from Bullhead. If we had a catastrophic failure in our center, they want our dispatchers to be able to go to a Kingman PD console, plug in, and start working.
Oh.
And that's the way that the services who oversee dispatch throughout the state, that's what they're trying to standardize so that we can all have the same equipment, the same capabilities. And so, yeah, they are different, but we're working toward getting rid of those hiccups when somebody's system doesn't work like ours does.
Okay. And are we looking for 800 frequency soon to move up to where scanners can't listen to everything?
Well, I know that we need a system that is more modern. I mean, our handheld radios, it's not a secret that those were very expensive.
Right.
But we're using those radios on a system that is very antiquated. And so once the system can work better with the technology we have in our cars and on our belts, the system is more reliable. 800 megahertz is the new industry standard. You know, you and I both worked in the UHF,
oh, yeah.
VHF days, and radio extenders and
repeaters, yeah.
And those days are in the past. I mean, we're working with complex systems that can take a substandard, even 800 megahertz signal, and supplement it with an LTE signal to complete that signal by the time it gets to the console to be repeated or to be sent digitally. And that's what we're working on moving towards, because it benefits everybody. It benefits the end users in the field, the patrolmen,
right.
who are out in the different geographical areas. And I say geography because ultimately that's what really matters.
Right.
We have highs, lows, valleys, even here in Bullhead City, and we're trying to communicate critical information back to the dispatchers. This is life and death information.
Right. I remember at Bullhead Fire when we had to put up a tower at Station 5 because there was parts of River Bend we weren't hitting.
Yep.
You know, and you stop and think, the average person doesn't realize that there's parts of the community that are almost a dark area for the dispatch center because of the hills and the valleys that we live in, and the 800 megahertz would solve that too.
Yeah, and there's a lot more capabilities when you get to that 800 megahertz to transmit data, not just radio signal.
Right.
And so we're interested in that because this is such a data-driven world. Everything about what we do is data-driven.
And then all the agencies that we just mentioned would also have to upgrade to 800.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would have to do sort of what we've done in the opposite order. We have fancy handhelds, but
right.
the system's not, it's not compatible. They work, but it doesn't make the radio function to its full capacity.
So now everybody would have to go to your fancy handhelds.
They would.
More or less. All right, let's take a break. We're halfway past the hour already, 31 past. Speak Out 2.0 is brought to you each and every day by Legacy Rehab and Care Center, physical therapists, occupational therapists, and speech therapists. If you need those services or know someone who does, call 928-763-1404. And we're brought to you by Mojave Mortgage. Do you need a loan? Do you want that new interest rate? Well, or maybe you just want to refinance. Well, call Chad Hansen. He's the guy with the key to the vault. You know, that's where the money is. Yeah. What do you need? $300? $700? $900? Call 928-288-2691.
This holiday season, keep everything running smoothly with TWN Fiber Internet. Enjoy faster shopping, clearer calls, and zero interruptions so you can focus on what matters most: family, fun, and festive cheer. Visit twncom.com/Mojave. That's twncom.com/MOHAVE. Or call 888-227-2095 to sign up today. Services provided by TWN Communications. Certain restrictions apply. Visit twn.com for more details and terms and conditions of service.
You're going to get hooked. Your Bullhead City Perkins has all-you-can-eat fish fry Fridays. Delicious Alaskan cod, hand-battered fish fry, every Friday starting at 3 p.m. There are many other fish meals available, too. Perkins all-you-can-eat fish Fridays are perfect. Then there are the pies. Eat a slice of pie there or take it home. Hey, take the whole pie home. But make plans to meet friends this Friday at 3 for all-you-can-eat. Perkins American Food Company, Highway 95, Bullhead City.
The Legacy Rehab and Care Center, located at 2812 Silver Creek Road in Bullhead City, assists patients with interfacility rehabilitation. Their skilled physical therapists will take the time to work with patients to get them back on their feet and headed home. This can also include occupational and speech therapy. For more information, call the Legacy Rehab and Care Center at 928-763-1404. Legacy Rehab and Care Center.
Arnold here from Bradley Chevrolet, your family-owned dealer since 2000, and we're brewing up some spectacular savings during our Hall of Green sales event. Save over $10,000 off MSRP on a 2025 Silverado, or creep into a brand-new 2026 Trax for just $21,925. That's $2,500 below MSRP. With 0% financing on select new Chevrolets, visit BradleyChevrolet.com or BradleyChevroletParker.com. Together, let's drive Chevrolet.
Trax stock number 588, financing for well-qualified buyers. See dealer for details.
Lake Havasu on video.com.
See what's happening on, in, and around Havasu. We are keeping you informed
on video.
Lake Havasu on video.com
includes special reports on interesting people and businesses,
resorts, restaurants, nearby attractions, history, and area events.
Lake Havasu on video.com is also a proud media partner of the Radio Central stations. Go online and see for yourself at
Lake Havasu on video.com.
Welcome back. 25 till, and of course after the news, the Sean Hannity program will be in your ears for 3 hours. So keep listening. Friday on the program, we're going to have the sheriff, Mojave County Sheriff Doug Schuster, in here. Do I tell him you said hi?
Yeah, please do.
Do you know each other?
We've met a handful of times.
Yeah. Okay, good guy. So that's Friday. Now, you've taught in the academy traffic and domestic violence and DUI. Are you still doing that in your capacity as lieutenant?
Yes. I handed over the course manager responsibility for the impaired driver class to Officer Malloy from the Lake Havasu City Police Department.
Oh, okay.
It's a very robust undertaking, and it needs full attention. And I recognized pretty early on that full attention was going to be slightly outside of my grasp.
Right.
So it was the best thing to do for the program to hand it over. I'll still continue to teach there. And I've kept all of my normal classes, so it doesn't really change much for the academy. I just won't be managing the DUI course for the recruits. I'll be just teaching.
Okay. Now, you talked about numbers, and dispatch receives, an enormous amount of calls every day.
Every single day.
From everything from a lost dog to a major call.
Yeah.
How many calls a day average are the dispatchers receiving up there on the hill?
So in September of 25, we fielded 5,275 calls for service.
Wow.
Now, that doesn't include somebody calling for a complaint that we would turn around and send to Rhodes, or we would turn around and send to some other branch of the city. Okay. Those are just 5,275 times a dispatcher fielded a call and created a call that was dispatched out to a patrolman. And that was 48,003 year-to-date as of the end of September.
Holy Toledo.
And September of 24 year-to-date was 50,643.
We're going to pass that.
Well, by the time the year's done, we certainly will.
Yeah. You're good for staff and dispatch?
We're not good. I don't think you can ask any police department.
I guess I
shouldn't
have said it that way.
We're sitting 4 short of full staff.
Okay.
Yeah, 4 short. And so we have applicants we just interviewed. Things are looking good. If we can get them through the hiring process and into dispatch training, that'd be wonderful.
And mention that hiring process, because they're going to work for a police department, and they're handling sensitive information. They're dealing with sometimes a frantic caller, sometimes a caller that doesn't speak English. And they've got to be able to do all that and not talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, so the process is just as robust as if we were hiring a patrolman.
Right.
That they have the same exposure to sensitive information. They're hearing from callers. They're hearing things before we are on the other end of the radio.
Correct.
So, yeah, it's a very robust, lengthy process. But, you know, the recruiting staff, Joe Schaefer, Corporal Dave Finney, they've been working tirelessly to try and get not just dispatch applicants, patrol applicants.
Sure.
animal enforcement applicants. They're trying to get these folks through the process as quick as we can. Because the reality is, if we can't get them done quick, another agency will.
Yep.
And we don't want that. We want to come work for us.
Well, and you just had 10 graduate from the academy, police officers, which is probably an all-time high to have that many new recruits at one time.
I believe it is. When I went through the academy with Kingman PD in 2014, I was one of 5, and Bull had had 2. And so in the years I've been teaching there, I don't think Bull had ever put in more than 2 or 3.
You're right.
And so to have 10 was awesome. It's a good problem to have, but it's not a slam dunk. I mean,
right.
Getting 10 in isn't always getting 10 out.
Correct.
And so once they make their way through our training process and get to solo capable and they're on their own, then we have to look at how they're going to fit into what it is we're doing organizationally. And so 10 in didn't necessarily mean 10 on the street.
Right. And you don't even have 10 field training officers once they all graduate.
Well, we've had to be very, very, very resourceful. Under Lieutenant Williams' leadership at the time over the patrol bureau, Sergeant Brian Schlenner overtook the duties of the field training officer coordinator. And that group did magic. Is they got 10 people plus laterals. I mean, we have laterals
right,
that weren't
three
really
laterals,
advertised.
Believe,
and
yeah.
So you had a very large amount of people that needed to be coordinated. And if there was any extensions in the training program, that threw a wrench in the system. I can't say enough about the work they did in getting all those folks assigned, getting them through the process. And
they're still in that process today. They're not ready to go on the streets yet by themselves?
They're trickling out. I think, yeah. If I'm not mistaken, we might have 1 or 2 finishing up the final phase.
Oh, okay.
But most of them they've achieved solo capable status, and they're working on their own.
Perfect. Okay. I'm sure that detectives and community services, every division within the police department that uses police officers, said, how many of these new guys do I get?
Everybody had, we were all taking numbers.
Yeah. I mean,
we didn't have that wheel with the now serving, but everybody needs.
Every division wanted more.
Yeah.
So when it all breaks out in the next few months and they're all on their own, will some be, not necessarily these new 10, but or the 13, because you get the 3 laterals. But then will some people in patrol move into traffic or move into community services or move into detectives?
Yes, we have different bureaus in the organization that are due personnel transfers. And so once the full complement of newer officers are solo capable and they're working on their own, then we can start to backfill some of those positions and
right.
get those other bureaus the help they're looking for.
And then you probably have some people in those bureaus that would consider it a vacation to go back on patrol.
Yeah, they might. So in this grand scheme of 10 people plus being on field training, we've had to borrow investigators from detectives who are field training officers and bring them back, you know, intermittently. So they've got a little taste of it recently. They're probably ready to go back and be back.
Well, I could see it when Lieutenant Williams walks up to one of them and goes, oh, by the way, Friday, you're going to be in patrol with one of the new recruits.
I'm sure that's how that conversation went, but to their credit, they all were very graceful. They understood the importance of this work, and they all stepped up, and they did a fantastic job for us.
And when you talk about the importance of that work, this is a major increase of employees at one time. So they get to participate in that, and they're going to get to see that guy or gal 6 months, 8 months, 5 years down the road and realize that I had a part of training that person.
Yeah, you have. Throughout my career, I've had people who were mentors to me talk about their first officer in training or deputy in training that they had. But you build these relationships with these folks that are a little bit more unique than just the camaraderie that comes with working in patrol work with other members. And so, yeah, and you're shaping the future of your organization. You're
right.
Teaching somebody. You're making sure that that person knows the job. They can go out and do it safely. They can go home every day. And so it's a huge point of pride for anybody who gets the opportunity to train somebody.
At the fire department, years ago, they put together a book. So when they hired somebody and they went through the academy or, you know, the class at the college, and they came to the fire department as a firefighter 1 and 2, they had to carry a book with them that they had to complete so many different steps in the next few months. Working at station one, working at station, whatever station they were at, they had to complete these steps as a rookie firefighter.
Yeah.
Are we seeing that with these individuals, that they have to complete these steps, or is it just what the field training officer provides them?
It's both, actually. The program is very robust. We refer to it as the rookie book, same as sounds like you guys did. We still have that to some extent, but most of the core of the training program is captured digitally. So we can actually look at a member and say, how many domestic violence verbal calls have they had? And it totals it for us. They've had 47. How many DUI investigations they had? Well, they had 7. You know, so we've gone away from some of the paper and pencil, if you will,
sure,
tracking as far as training progress. But we still couldn't get away from having something we had to print out and check boxes and make sure things were covered. Because the system that we adopted for training, it wasn't all-inclusive. It had core competencies, but it wasn't all-inclusive. So between the two of those, and then, of course, we rely heavily on the training officer to lend their experience to the core competencies and give them a little bit extra that kind of brings it to life.
You've got corporals and sergeants above the patrol officers. Are you moving people around? In other words, if you've got a recruit that's, or a rookie that's now in uniform and he's working with a field training officer, but he's assigned to, let's just say, south end of Bullhead City, but he's only had a couple domestic violence calls, and all of a sudden a domestic violence call is dispatched for somewhere up in North Bullhead. Could that training officer call the sergeant and say, can we take that call?
So the training officers are proactively taking those calls.
Okay,
good. We don't require them to go through the shift sergeant for approval. They know what their officer in training needs, and they can prioritize to what calls to go to.
So they can move different areas of the city.
Yeah, and it's communicated at the briefings. Hey, if these kind of calls come out, just hold down the fort a little bit till we get there, because I want this officer to experience this and work through this.
Okay, because that's necessary sometimes. If he may be working the target area on the south end of town, that may be his district for the night, but then a different call gets dispatched somewhere else, and he might need to move into a different district to be able to handle that, right?
Yeah, and so that's where we rely on that system. It gives us in almost real time, you know, where are they lacking, what kind of investigations do they need. So their training officer for that phase would have it on the top of their head, hey, we need to focus on fraud calls. We don't have a whole lot of those. We need to try to get a DUI. We don't have any of those.
Okay.
Because what we don't want is any member to go out and be confronted with a situation where the customer, our stakeholders, our customers are expecting
professional
top-notch service. And it's not that they're not top-notch. They just haven't experienced it. And we don't want that. So the system helps us keep on top of that, and we're able to turn out members who are patrol-ready. They're able to go out and provide that service that we expect and our customers expect on day one.
Do they have the same field training officer throughout their field training, or do will they work with one person this month and a different field training officer next month and a different field training officer?
Yeah, so we have, they don't work with the same one. We have it broken down into phases, and the phases are designed for increasing competency and increasing initiation by the trainee. So they're expected to do more as the phases go on to ultimately phase four. They're expected to perform like a solo capable officer. But those are done with different officers as they progress, and we want them to hear different ways of doing things, different levels of experience, so that they can take a little bit from everybody and then develop their own style.
Okay. A lot going on.
It is a ton. I have to tip my hat to Sergeant Schlenner and the training group, because they have done a phenomenal job for us. And I think they don't want to ever have to do that.
Not 10, huh?
Yeah. But they did a great job, and I couldn't be happier with what they did.
How many do you have in the academy today, or do you know?
We're sitting at 2 today.
Okay.
And I think we're looking at sending 4, if I'm not mistaken.
The next time?
To the next academy, which will start in January.
Because now Bullhead City is to the point that, well, we just had our chief retire. But, I mean, and you've had a lot of retirements recently, but you're turning over people.
Yeah.
People are retiring from the agency, and which probably hadn't been a problem for a long time.
No, in the golden years when everybody was brand new, and attrition was largely to somebody decided, hey, I need to move to Texas because my wife got a better job, or something like that. It wasn't really... we're worrying about people leaving because they're at retirement age, but now we have such a mix of people in the middle, we have people at the top.
Right.
And so we're always looking at how are we predicting our personnel needs, and how many people do we need to get in the pipeline so that we can be ready for those. We're not running behind, because if we're running behind, then people are having to work extra hours, and not everybody in the department
likes extra hours,
right? And we don't want to have to make that something they're required to do.
So Rod has mentioned to me more than once that he had more people then, when he was chief, than we have today. Are we close to those numbers being the same?
I don't think we're close to the ratio being the same. We may have more actual numbers, but when you look at how the city has evolved, I mean, here 5,275 calls for service.
Yeah.
I would be interested to know what that number looked like, in the days that Rod's talking about.
Well, you had the computer in front of you.
It might be on microfiche. I know that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, yeah.
But I think we're getting closer to where we need to be. There's national guidelines for how many ratio of officers to citizens you're supposed to have. And I think we're moving closer to getting to that number.
Okay.
And it's definitely something, I mean, by virtue of 10 people coming in, we're actively recruiting.
Right.
We know where we want to be.
And at the same time, when you talk about those numbers that are nationally certified, does that based upon just the amount of people that live in your city, or also your call structure and call volume?
I have to answer that, because the number I know of was based on population.
Okay.
It wasn't based on utilization. I mean, realistically, 5,275 calls for service, how many of those had an acuity that would require the patrolman to be dedicated for longer than an hour? I mean, we don't know that. I mean, sure, I'm sure you could split that hair down and figure that out. But you would need to know how much time is being spent on these calls to know if utilization should affect that ratio.
Right.
So I think they just take comfort in the ease of saying 1.5 per thousand, or whatever the case might be.
Because a fender bender requires a lot less time, even if it's on the highway. If it's just a fender bender, no injuries, requires a lot less time than a husband and wife duking it out in the back room.
Well, it could, but, I mean, you talk about a roadway collision. If those vehicles can or can't be moved, it's not just a
one-car
investigation, because we have to manage traffic. We have to make sure we're protecting the people involved in the
collision.
Yeah. And that we can try to keep traffic moving. If we can't, then it requires more people. So, yeah, the time requirement for a roadway collision probably isn't that great, but the personnel utilization is high, three times higher than some other calls, because we need people physically blocking, controlling. So those are things that get factored into any type of call for service and how you're looking at the impact on the organization.
The other night of the National Walk Away from Drugs, Wednesday night, Danny Crawford was acting like he was 7 foot tall, because I believe that his cops unit earlier in the day made a pretty decent bust and busted an individual for quite a bit of drugs and some guns and some cash. And when those things occur, does that then bring out detectives and narcotics department and everything? Or is it just he makes the arrest and gathers the evidence and goes in?
Well, the answer is it can. It really depends on the case factors. If there's indications that, you know, narcotics should be involved, if we're talking about search warrants down the line as that single arrest ripples,
right?
We would involve investigations. Maybe not right then, but...
And that's what I'm thinking about, because once they arrest him, okay, now you've got him off the street and the drugs and the cash and the guns, but where does it go from there? You know, do you get a search warrant? Obviously, you get a search warrant for his car, but do you get one for his residence? Does detectives... You know, in other words, when he makes the arrest, does he just tell the sergeant, hey, I arrested this guy, or in this case, Danny Crawford, his corporal, I arrested this guy. And is it Danny's job then to notify detectives and so on and so forth? We got this guy. Because by the look of that guy, he was somebody you probably knew. The police department knew him.
Well, I know that as we work through these investigations, we're reaching out to other bureaus for information, intelligence, and a lot of that dictates... You know, what we hear dictates what happens next. So the case factors are really the driving force. If there's somebody coming through town, they have no ties to Bullhead City, well, then our hands are sort of tied. We make a call to that jurisdiction where we believe they originated from. Hey, this is what happened. But when it's here and it's in our general tri-state area, you know, there's a lot of work we can do with those other agencies to get search warrants executed and sort of dig a lot deeper in the investigation than just what we got in the field.
All right. A lot going on. Let's take a break. 7 minutes to the top of the hour. Speak Out 2.0 is brought to you by... Oh, what's going on with my music here? Let's try this again.
Might have to start singing. Oh, there we go.
T.W. Wayne Communications. By the way, if you don't have fiber internet, I don't know what you're thinking, because it is the best. Call this number and talk to them. 444-8232. Up and down the MEC area. And Perkins America Food Company, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and all-you-can-eat fish Fridays at Perkins. And when you go in there, say hi to Rick. He's the franchisee of the year for Perkins.
Lachlan Ranch announces 20% off body sculpting in their spa all October. Save all October on relaxation and rejuvenation. Indulge yourself with the Desert Golden Hourglass, the Arizona Arms, or the Cactus Contour. All 50-minute custom body sculpting. Check out other fall specials like Whipped Honey Body Scrub, the Whipped Honey Pedicure, and the Pumpkin Latte Facial. Look good the rest of the year. The Spa and Fitness Center at Lachlan Ranch. Make your appointment at LachlanRanch.com.
Attention high school juniors, Mojave Electric Cooperative is sponsoring a once-in-a-lifetime trip to Washington, D.C. Applications for the Washington Youth Tour are open now through October 31st. All applicants must be high school juniors, and their parent or legal guardians must be MEC members and grant permission to apply. Visit online at MojaveElectric.com/community for more information and start your application today.
This message is brought to you by Mojave Electric Cooperative, an equal opportunity provider and employer.
Too soon? Maybe it's a little early for Christmas music, but it's never too early to prep your home for the holidays. Stay ahead of the holiday chaos with TWN's fast, reliable 100% fiber internet. Keep your holidays festive, fun, and stress-free. Visit TWNcom.com/Mojave. That's TWNcomm.com/Mojave. Or call 888-227-2095 to sign up now. Services provided by TWN Communications. Certain restrictions apply. Visit TWNcom.com for more details and terms and conditions of service.
You're going to get hooked. Your Bullhead City Perkins has all-you-can-eat fish fry Fridays. Delicious Alaskan cod, hand-battered fish fry, every Friday starting at 3 p.m. There are many other fish meals available, too. Perkins all-you-can-eat fish Fridays are perfect. Then there are the pies. Eat a slice of pie there or take it home. Hey, take the whole pie home. But make plans to meet friends this Friday at 3 for all-you-can-eat. Perkins American Food Company, Highway 95, Bullhead City.
Arnold here from Bradley Chevrolet, your family-owned dealer since 2000. And we're brewing up some spectacular savings during our Hall of Green sales event. Save over $10,000 off MSRP on a 2025 Silverado or creep into a brand new 2026 Trax for just $21,925. That's $2,500 below MSRP. With 0% financing on select new Chevrolets, visit BradleyChevrolet.com or BradleyChevroletParker.com. Together, let's drive Chevrolet.
Trax stock number 588. Exempt financing for well-qualified buyers. See dealer for details.
Good old Sam is at it again. Samsgun.com has bought a back stock of Heckler & Koch pistols and rifles. Prices have been reduced. You'll also get a $50 gift card on any H&K purchase. Time is limited. Get on over to Samsguns.com today.
The biggest names in talk radio are right here on KNTR Talk. Kilmeade, Hannity, Levin, and Ramsey, along with our local newsmakers on Speak Out. Stay informed. Stay tuned to KNTR Talk 106.3, the voice of the free.
Welcome back to Speak Out 2.0. Live from our Bullhead City studio, I'm Larry Twinforce, your host. It's about 3 till. We've got about 3 minutes left with our guests, and then you're going to have the news, and then the Sean Hannity program in your ears. And we're with Sergeant Espinosa. If people have been listening and thinking, you know, my grandson talks about cops and robbers all the time, I think he might want to be a cop. Who do they get in touch with?
So they can talk to any patrolman, any member of the organization they find out in the community. But if they want to make a call, they can contact Joe Schaefer or Corporal Dave Finney at the police department, 928-763-9200. They can ask for either of those folks, and they can answer all their questions. We have a lot of recruiting events that are scheduled. They can plug them in the right place. And
oh, good.
They can come and talk to somebody, get a little information about the process.
And the process is detailed. I mean, you're going to wear a badge and a gun. They got to make sure that your mind's on straight and that you're a good person. You don't have a bunch of arrest records and you didn't flunk school and cheat.
Yeah, very thorough.
All that. Eddie, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Always
thanks
a great guest.
Me.
Always good information for our listeners. I appreciate it.
Thanks again.
All right. That's going to can it for us. We're out of here. Thank you to the sponsors. Thank you for our guests and our listeners. And we'll be back on Friday. And Friday, we're going to have the sheriff of Mojave County, Doug Schuster, will be in here. So we'll talk about big things in law enforcement, like budgets and, you know, he needs people too. So tune into that on Friday. Apollo Boy will be with you the next 3 days. We'll Speak Out tomorrow morning, Common Ground. So tune into that. A couple things going on around our community. Speaking of cops, the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department has their 6th annual Trunk or Treat Thursday night. And it says 1705 J Street, which I'm assuming might be their new, they just got into their new substation. Yeah, they remodeled it, and they just moved in there last week. That's from 4 o'clock till 6. If you have questions, call the Sheriff's Office Needles, 760-326-9200. And there is a farmer's market on Saturday in Bullhead City. You want some fresh fruit and vegetables? Go to Community Park, 9 a.m. If you have questions, call Claire Adams, 928-763-0158. And finally, there's a car show on Sunday. This is put on by the SOAR part of the Sheriff's Office, which is a car and a bike show at Mojave Marketplace, 11 a.m. or 10 a.m.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.